This podcast is a service of South Canyon Baptist Church in Rapid City, South Dakota. For more information about our church, visit southcanyonbaptist.org.
Hello, friends. Pastor Brent and I are here talking a little bit about books.
We love books.
We do love books. You probably picked that up by the fact that we talk and promote books all the time, and I think actually there's probably some out there that are a little weary, but we don't care. We think books are very, very helpful, and never as a replacement of your Bible reading, just to be clear, but as a great supplement to have people that handle God's Word well and explain it well and magnify it well. And so, Brent, I think you've got a stack of books right there. The people can't see them, so you need to describe them
to them. Paint the picture, huh?
Yeah, paint the picture. What are some books that you have there, and why did you choose to highlight those today?
Yeah, I have, among several books, I have three in particular that I wanted to mention first. Because if people were to come to me, and this might shift a little bit from time to time, I guess, as I read more books and think more deeply about this. But I think if people were to say to me, Brent, what three books have impacted your life more than any other, or at least as much as any other? I think these three books that I'm holding, that they can't see, would be the three books. And so let me just mention what they are. One is Let the Nations Be Glad by John Piper. It's his book on missions. It's a very thorough biblical teaching. It's his teaching and writing about missions based upon all that the Scripture says. And it shaped, it stunned, it challenged me as I read through it, and I would love to think and have every person in our congregation read this book. Most of you, if you've been around for a while, know that that's at the heart of what at the heart of my heart, at the center of my heart is world missions, and I desire to see God work in our church and make our church a sending church. And we're seeing that, and we're seeing more young people who are considering seriously international missions, and I'm super grateful and thankful for that and want to see that continue. So Let the Nations Be Glad. The idea is that missions exist for the purpose of worship, and that our goal in missions and taking the gospel to people is so that they will worship God. It's all about the glory of God. It's, the greatest and most important thing about missions is not a love for people, as important as that is. Mm-hmm. The ultimate motivation for missions is not a love for people. It's a love for God and a love for His glory and desire to see Him worshiped and for the people to have joy, which glorifies God, to have joy in knowing and worshiping God. And so that's behind the title. And there's so many other things he talks through and about in this book that are challenging, even for those who God doesn't send, and how God is calling us as a church and us as individuals to support and to be a part of this task, this assignment that we've been given to take the gospel to the nations. So that's one book. Another of the three books that I have is The Cross of Christ by John Stott. Now, it's sort of heavy reading at points, at least, mm-hmm. but I think it is a fantastic book that biblically and clearly and thoroughly talks about Jesus' death on the cross and what it means and what the Bible teaches about it and how it atones for our sins and what it, some of the controversial things that are out there, I guess you'd say, among more progressive Christians, and even though he doesn't use that term because the book was written before that term was used for certain people and their beliefs in the church, but he deals with those kind of issues, things that certain Christians, progressive Christianity would deny, and why what the Bible says and what the text says about Jesus' death being a propitiation for our sins, being an atoning sacrifice for our sins, why that's biblical and why that's important. And it's very practical, too. He talks about the cross and what it means for us. What does it mean for us to take up our cross? Communion, what is that? How does communion relate to our understanding of the cross and our living out what the cross represents? So that's another book that I think is incredibly important when it comes to the very center of our faith, the cross of Christ. So I encourage you to consider that. And then the third of the three books that I have is Trusting God by Jerry Bridges. It's a book that I read in college and have read again probably two or three times since then. It's just a fantastic book on how we can trust God in spite of the problem of evil is kind of the way it's usually addressed in most theologies. The idea of suffering and bad things happening, quote, to good people. You know, how do you explain that? How do you as a Christian continue to trust God when things that you've prayed for don't happen, when you're experiencing pain and all kinds of sorrow, maybe the death of a loved one, a big tragedy? You know, how do you trust in God? And it's a strong book and statement about the sovereignty of God and the goodness of God and the wisdom of God and how we hold those three doctrines together. And because we do, we can trust God. So if you're facing difficulty in your life or challenges in terms of your faith, trusting God, I think, is a very, very Bible-saturated book that helps us trust in and see God for who He really is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. Those are all favorites of mine, too. The Cross of Christ would be in my top five for sure. Let the Nations Be Glad, I found so stirring. I don't know if I've read Trusting God. I probably ought to.
There you go. You gotta do that.
Would
now.
You recommend it?
I would.
Oh,
yes,
okay.
Would.
Okay, good.
I'll give you this copy.
Yeah. Oh, good. Good. I need it. I think that, there's so many great books out there. I think that if you were to go into our cafe, you would see a lot of the ones that that we would recommend, obviously. But the ones, the little Nine Marks books, I found just very helpful. They're written to be very accessible, and for people who maybe aren't readers, they're designed for that. They're small, they're to the point. The chapters aren't long, the pages are small, but they capture a lot. They pack a lot of punch in 100, 120 pages, and small pages. And one of our favorites that we actually give out to the members in the Discovery class is The Gospel by Ray Ortlund, How the Church Portrays the Beauty of Christ. I found this one to be just very stirring and inspiring. It goes beyond just the Jesus died for my sins, which is true, but we tend to think of the gospel as being a get out of hell free card, and then once saved, always saved, so I can do whatever I want. And this little book, not very big, very easy to read, very to the point, just blows that out of the water. That the gospel is massive. That it's that it encompasses the entire universe. It encompasses the church. It encompasses the individual. So just working through from the individual all the way out to where God is going to make a new heavens and a new earth, and that all of that is part of the work of Jesus, part of the work of God in Jesus and His work on the cross. That the total eradication of sin and death and pain and hell is part of the gospel, and that we have the privilege of putting that on display in our lives and in our lives together. So a great book. Another one that just came out by Michael Lawrence in that Nine Mark series is Conversion. I just found that so helpful. And I've taken a group of guys through that on Tuesday mornings at Panera, and just walking through what does it mean to be saved? What does salvation look like? How do you know that you're saved? And so conversion, what is true conversion? What does it do? What's it look like over time? How does it work? Really, really helpful. And I think really helpful. If you're a parent, I think it's really helpful in terms of how to discern and figure out how to bring your kids to Christ. What you're supposed to be looking for, how to be patient, what to say, what to cultivate, what not to say, what to make clear. So I just find it very practical for the whole Christian life. The little book on missions by Andy Johnson is awesome. It gives such a good template for how the church can, in a healthy way, engage itself in missions, looking not just for immediate impact, although that's good when you can get it, but also looking at long-term impact. What does the missionaries we support, what's going to be the result of Christianity? What's going to be the impact in 10 years, in 50 years, in 200 years of their work? Not just looking for quick conversions and dramatic stories today, but how do we invest for the gospel to be well-planted, well-established, and being fruitful for generations. So great book. J.I. Packer's Knowing God is a great, great book.
That's not a part of the Nine Mark series.
Part of the Nine Mark series. I've shifted. Such a great book, really hitting a lot of the different characteristics of God and how we relate to Him. It's a classic. It'll be one that they're reading 200, 300 years from now. It'll go down as one of the classics of Christianity. We read as pastors and with the TPA students, Pilgrim's Progress. Not always an easy read, but just tremendously insightful commentary on what the Christian life is like, what kind of temptations come at us. In terms of biography, if you're interested in biography, we read Here I Stand, mm-hmm. a biography of Martin Luther. It looks big. It looks like a really thick book, but it reads fast. It's fascinating to just see his life, and it just blows your mind, the things he went through and the kind of things that happened to Martin Luther. There's a smaller one with nice short chapters on a biography of Spurgeon by a guy named Dalimore. And that one's just awesome. It's a fun read. You can sit down and read a chapter in about 10 minutes, and you just get these twists and turns in his life, and his faithfulness and his perseverance through suffering is incredible. His wife and he were bedridden a good chunk of their lives, and yet he was so productive for the sake of the gospel, and they leaned on each other and suffered together and ministered together. That's a great biography. You've got a couple more books there. You want to highlight those?
Yeah,
I could just keep talking for an hour.
Let me mention one other biography that I read a long time ago, the biography of George Mueller. I mean, that's a fantastic biography, and there may be more than one on him. I'm not sure. But I read one years ago, and it's a very challenging, encouraging, insightful look into someone's life that will end up making you a stronger, more faithful, more motivated giver, servant of Christ. The other books I have here, I just picked up these from the cafe also. There's Christian Beliefs by Wayne Grudem, 20 Basics Every Christian Should Know. It's the shortest of the Grudem books.
Yeah.
It's for a person who might be a newer believer or might just want to review some things, you know, basics, some introductory things about the different doctrines of the Christian faith. There's another one that's sort of a medium.
Yep,
it's called
Bible
Christian
Doctrine.
Bible Doctrine, right?
Yep.
And then the last one, of course, is Systematic Theology, and that's a huge book that can be used well as a doorstop. Also, it's so big, but
or a boat anchor.
Yeah, it's a big one. So those are great books on theology. And then I just picked up another little one. It's about the size of those in the Nine Marks series. It's not a part of that series. It's one that I've read through a couple of times. I think it's very good. It's called The Treasure Principle by Randy Alcorn. And it's about unlocking the secret of joyful giving. And it just really deals with our values and what they should be and how that relates to our money and our giving and so forth. It's just very refreshing, very encouraging, and very biblically challenging in terms of our stewardship of our finances and treasure.
Yep. In terms of a good devotional, Paul Tripp's New Morning Mercies is an excellent one. Morning and Evening by Spurgeon is a great one just for a daily devotional. For women, I just read Elise Patrick's Comforts from the Cross, and she's got several others. She's got one through Romans. She's got another one. I forget